Hello and welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, BC on unceded Coast Salish territories. I am your host today, Carissa Thorpe, and I'm joined in studio by Allison Cole.
Hello there.
Amir, I don't know your last name.
Ali.
Okay, Amir Ali. And David Isbister is our guest co-host today.
Hi.
So, today on the show, we have Krista Osborne, who is the Executive Director of Mercy for Animals Canada, and she's going to talk to us about the group's latest undercover investigation, which looked into hog transport in Canada and the horrors that pigs face on the way to slaughter. So that's coming up a little bit later. And in the meantime, let's introduce David here. How's it going, David?
Oh, excellent. I've been up already a long time, so I'm ready to talk to someone finally. Yeah.
So David and I have known each other for quite a while, but it's really been interesting to see lately the things that you've gotten up to in the last couple of years. Do you want to tell people about plant-based?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've always done a little bit of cooking, but I sort of officialized it about 3 years ago, actually. I have a dinner club and a custom foods company called Plant-Based Vegan Food and Products. I also make household items and personal care items as well.
Yeah. And where did you learn to do all of those things?
I'm a nerd. The vegan food, like, you know, that was easy. I'm a raised vegetarian and I've been vegan for 15 years. So I just decided to start cooking it for everyone else and show them that it can all be delicious.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of food do you make?
Well, this morning I made 4 handmade lasagnas from scratch, including the noodles.
And do you deliver these to people? They order a lasagna?
Yeah, yeah, okay, I do. Okay. Yeah, I even brought everyone cookies here today.
Oh, my goodness.
There they
Thank
are.
You.
We love free food here.
Nice. Cookies.
Unfortunate for our radio listeners that they can't experience the cookies, but yeah. Good for us.
They're still fresh. They might be able to smell them.
Do you have a website?
I do, yeah. It's
please promote yourself.
Yeah, there's a couple. The best way to get a hold of me minute to minute is on the Facebook, facebook.com/plantbasehealth. And then my website is www.plantbasefood.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's recipes and all sorts of stuff there.
And you recently did a dinner for like 100 people, didn't you?
100 people in Surrey, yeah. There's a fellow who came to one of my Secret Supper events. Or Secret Supper style events. I think someone else might use that name. But someone who came and he really enjoyed it and he asked me to come do a 100-person event for him and it went awesome. I did 5 courses, made the lasagna I spoke of as well as pulled pork sandwiches. People can't see me making air quotes, but I am. Yeah, everything from scratch, the bread. That's kind of my calling card is to make absolutely everything from whole ingredients. So.
What was the pulled pork made out of? Jackfruit?
It was a combination this time of jackfruit and gluten.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
That sounds really yummy.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And so what was where did he have 100 people from?
It was in his backyard. He actually, this guy Kirk Holmes, shout out Kirk if you're listening. You could tell because my voice went different that it was a shout out. He's just a cool guy. He rescues animals and he wanted to basically give back to a bunch of the organizations he works with and he had most of them out for free.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it was cool. Awesome. So we got to help little animals. He had all his dogs and birds and everything else he's rescued out there, and it was awesome. Everyone ate amid screeching cockatoos and barking dogs, you know, happily. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I think I nearly died. So it was good.
That's not cool.
How many hours of preparation was that? Do you even have a clue?
Well, man hours we did. We did close to 200, but I did maybe 80 or 90.
Only man hours, no woman hours?
Oh, I'm sorry. Person hours. Yes. Yeah.
I'm just imagining a kitchen full of men.
No, it really wasn't hard. Actually.
Okay,
yeah, only
which
one
would be
dude.
Very unusual.
Yeah.
And then do you want to tell people what else you do?
You do more?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm always very busy. I'm an autism support worker. That's what I kind of do, mm-hmm. you know, 30, 40 hours a week. And then I also play music as well. So I was in Mass Undergo before, and now I front a band called Season 2 Attack.
Is it a punk band by any chance?
You kind of
have that vibe.
Could. No. I don't
see
know.
Piercings on you,
well,
or at least one.
Yeah, I guess that is a good indicator of punk rock, isn't it? I don't know. Yeah, I guess it falls into that. Probably.
It's a bluegrass band, right?
I actually do play bluegrass.
Okay.
I like it.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. I guess we lean to harder rock, but yeah. there's a little bit of pop, a little bit of punk, a little bit of everything in there.
That's actually how I first met David, was selling merchandise for Mass Undergo after going to a couple shows.
Chris used to just haul in the cash for us. Yeah.
Some of the things you made me sell, though.
Well, hey, it's independent music.
At least they were all vegan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
She's talking about lube.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to make, I made lube and lip balm and hair pomade and stuff I still make, minus the lube, although it might be coming back
soon.
You know
what? Yeah. We could do an interview with that about that at another date, because that's vegan, mm-hmm. vegan lifestyle, which yeah. we're all about here.
Maybe
too.
We can do nice. That for Valentine's Day or something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And what other things are you making now? Like you said that you were still making those things.
Oh, gosh.
And
then, yeah, I make...
I feel like you come up with a new, like, product, not just here it is again, but a new product, like,
yeah,
every
I like
week.
To, yeah, I like to turn them over, for sure. Yeah. Right now, I've got, like, 8 types of soap, shave bars, lip balm, hairspray, lotion, everything. Everything you get at the toothpaste. Yeah. Just natural whole ingredient versions of them that are effective.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm plugging too much though now.
You make a lot yeah. of stuff.
No.
David.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
We want to introduce you to everyone. Yeah. People should know all the cool stuff that you do.
Buy definitely. My stuff.
What do you envision with that in the future? Like, where is it sort of headed? Do you want it to be a store one day or something?
Yeah. Basically right now, the main goal is just that I want to show people that other products exist, that they're effective, that they're a good price, and that, for me, number one, they're compassionate. So I'm just kind of chipping away at sort of offsetting people's consumption. That's kind of the goal for now. And in the future, I'd like to make it a full-time gig. I do it about 20 hours a week now. So I've managed to replace some of my other work with it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to do a slow build. I'm going to keep up. The supper club is large and already yeah. a lot to handle. So.
Well, and I see people saying like, when are you opening a restaurant already?
Yeah, I get that a lot. But if anyone out there has $1 million, I'd be happy to, you know, if you're listening.
Well, Graze is currently doing a crowdfund to open a second restaurant. Above
Graze is. Oh,
the
I didn't
current
see that.
Restaurant. Yeah, apparently the upper floors of the restaurant that they're in, there's a lot of space up there, and they want to open, I don't know, it's kind of an interesting concept. Have you heard about this, Allison?
I supported it. I'm funding yeah. them.
So they want to make it like a food truck, but with inside.
Oh, cool.
And every month it's going to be a different theme. So one month it might be Jamaican, and they might have like sort of like a Jamaican sunset beach in the background, like on the big projector screen to
nice.
Give you that kind of vibe. And every month it'll be different.
Cool.
Different food.
Yeah, it's a different little menu. How I run the club too, is little themes like that. I actually did a Caribbean night. So
yeah.
Vegan Caribbean food is delicious. Mm. Well, any vegan food really. But.
And how do you figure out how to make all of these things, because they seem really creative and inventive?
I guess just the nerdiness again. I basically like to look at what's just basically what's in it and then sort of approximate, and then just I usually just run a couple of test recipes, refine it, write it down if I need to, although sometimes I'm not the best at that because I kind of just remember it. Once I've made it once, I can kind of just remember.
So does that mean there's a cookbook coming one day?
I'm slowly compiling. Yeah, I've got about 70 recipes now that are like written down. I might pare it down a bit once I get like a big collection of them, because I want the first thing I do to be rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Allison, did you want to talk about what you produced last weekend?
Yeah, very quickly, because we have to do membership drive stuff too, so we have 3 minutes.
You can take a couple minutes.
Okay, so yeah, so just wanted to briefly mention Animal Voices was a co-sponsor as well of an event that I produced last week. It was the fourth annual Compassionate Thinks Living event, where we had a huge vegan potluck celebration for the holiday that's most commonly celebrated with dead animals on your table. So this was an alternative for the vegan and compassionate, kind-hearted souls community in Vancouver to come together, and we definitely did. 200 people came out again.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we had live musical entertainment. We had like lots of raffle prizes. Carissa actually donated some really cute door prizes of pumpkin loaves. Those are really awesome. People seem very excited to win those, by the way. But most of all, I think people were excited about the food, and we had a lot of food. I had 16 garden roasts donated, and I think it was just a really great event. Thank you, Amir, for volunteering, by the way. I haven't seen you since then, but I did send you a thank you note, and yeah, it was great for you, too, so that's good, because I haven't really talked to you since then. So.
No, it was actually a lot of fun. Yeah. I'd never been to one before, and I was amazed at the turnout and the food. There was actually too much food, I think, which is also a great thing, obviously, but yeah.
There's nothing
you still look full.
Too much vegan food. Well, I'm still recovering.
I pretty much always leave feeling sick because I've had way too much food.
Yeah, so that's really all I wanted to say about that. Carissa.
Oh, yeah. David would like the floor for a moment.
Okay. Sure.
I would?
Yes.
Oh, well, hello. Is that for the giveaway thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I just passed Carissa a note, grade school style, folded it up into one of those cool ninja stars and everything. That's what all that rustling was. If anyone's listening at all, I'm sure there's lots, you can hit me up on Facebook, and I'm going to give you things. The random person who hits me up on Facebook.
Hits you up how?
Just message me. Message me at Plant Based Foods. Okay. So www.facebook.com/plant-base-health. Not based, duh, but base. Like where the plants go to plan their strategy.
The plant base.
Plant base.
Makes so much sense now.
Yeah, that's why that little tank made out of vegetables, that's why it kind of happened.
Oh,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. And David, did you want to do the events now?
Sure. Good?
Yep.
I've got them right here. So the events for this week, today, there's a leafleting event for Primate Liberation Week today from 5 to 7 p.m., UBC Robson Square Campus at Robson and Howe Street in Vancouver. The University of British Columbia makes extensive use of a colony of non-human primates. Much of this involves controversial neurological experiments, depression studies, and includes what one veterinary expert has described as cruel and shocking procedures. This leafleting event aims to show UBC that this is simply not acceptable. The local activist group Stop UBC Animal Research asks you to join them in raising public awareness and questioning why UBC has expanded their primate facilities when Harvard University is closing theirs down. Film screening of the documentary The Ghosts in Our Machine with director Liz Marshall at Eternal Abundance on Tuesday, October 21st will be screening. Doors open at 7:30 and the film starts at 8 p.m. sharp. Liberation BC is proud to present the screening of this important film for the animals. This film illuminates the lives of individual animals living within and rescued from the machine of our modern world. Through the hard and photographic lens of animal rights journalist Joanne MacArthur, audiences become intimately familiar with a cast of non-human animals. From undercover investigations to joyful rescue missions in North America and Europe, each photograph and story is a window into global animal industries, food, fashion, entertainment, and research. The Ghosts in Our Machine charts MacArthur's efforts to bring wider attention to a topic that most humankind strives very hard to avoid. Are non-human animals property to be owned or used, or are they sentient beings deserving of rights? Film director Liz Marshall will be in attendance to discuss the film and answer questions following the screening. If you would like to know more about this film, please do a search on our website at animalvoices.org to hear interviews with both Liz Marshall and Joanne MacArthur, plus a review of the film that we have done in the past. The cost is a sliding scale of $5 to $15, and it includes an organic tea and cookie. No one, however, will be turned away for lack of funds. So just get down there. There's a protest of an SPCA gala, Saturday, November 1st at 4 p.m. at the Roundhouse Community Center. That's 181 Roundhouse Mews in Vancouver. The BCSPCA is putting on a gala this day that they will be serving what they're calling ethical meat. For the event, the Animal Welfare Agency only approached chefs and restaurants that believe in sourcing food, especially meats, that are ethically raised, as they say. But of course, we feel that there's no such thing as ethical meat. As of yesterday, 45 activists on the Facebook group for this event have RSVP'd to put on a protest at this gala to show the SPCA that what they're doing is wrong. They wish to ask, why does a farm animal's life matter less than the lives they are dealing with on a daily basis, i.e. cats and dogs? And that just because an animal is organic, is ethical, or was slaughtered humanely, that does not mean a thing. A life was taken for human consumption.
I think another thing that's kind of weird is I actually got an email from the SPCA on the first of the month that said, it's Farm Animal Welfare Month. Help us support these animals
that
don't normally have anybody speak up for them. And then this is what they're doing, is they're having this gala of come and eat some animals during Farm Animal Awareness Month.
Yikes. One more event to tell you about, Carissa. Animal Voices Animal Liberation Talent Show is on Saturday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m. Heartwood Community Cafe. I was actually just there. It's delicious. Yeah. 317 East Broadway in Vancouver. Animal Voices will be hosting a show from a variety of local talent. Do you have a song about animals? Got a poem about liberation? Creative skit related to activism? We want to see you perform it. Please contact either Jackie or Carissa to sign up to perform or with any questions. You're Carissa? Well, nice to meet you. You can email them at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We'd love to see new as well as seasoned talent at this event. At the present time, the types of talent and format is relatively open, but must be booked in advance. We ask that content all have a message or inspiration loosely related to animals, liberation, or social justice. And, of course, we want people to show up and watch the amazing talent, so if you don't want to perform, please come by and watch the talented individuals do their thing. Entrance by suggested $15 donation. However, no one will be turned away for lack of funds. Nice.
Yeah. And Heartwood is a really great place.
Yeah.
So we're pretty excited to be.
People might know it from before it used to be called Rhizome, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, too, if you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have advertised on Animal Voices, please do send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook page, which is Animal Voices Vancouver.
Yeah.
You're listening to Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 CFRO. We are a non-commercial station bringing you voices and stories and perspectives you probably won't hear elsewhere. We are supported by members and by donations. You can become a member by going to our website at www.coopradio.org. If you like what you hear but don't want to be a member, that's cool too. You can still help by clicking on the donate arrow at the top right of the website. Co-op Radio thanks you for listening and for helping build our community of listeners and programmers.
You know I need your love. You got that hold over me. As long as I got your love, you know that I'll never leave. When I wanted you to share my life, I had no doubt in my mind. And it's been you, woman.
A new Mercy for Animals Canada undercover investigation at Western Hog Exchange reveals the horrific cruelty of the Canadian livestock transport industry. Animals who are too sick or injured to walk are often ruthlessly kicked, beaten, and shocked with electric prods. Sick and injured animals are frequently left to suffer without proper veterinary care in plain view of government inspectors. Workers use bolt cutters to cut through the sensitive tusks of male pigs without any painkillers. This horrific mutilation is carried out to prevent aggression brought on by inhumane transport conditions. These animals are on a journey to hell, marked by overcrowding, injuries, and outright brutal abuse. Pigs are intelligent and sensitive animals, yet they are routinely crammed into trailers and transported hundreds of kilometers in sweltering heat. They frequently suffer from heat stress, sunburns, and heart attacks. Transported in Canada's hostile winter weather, some pigs become frozen to the decks of trailers. Many animals die en route in excruciating pain from dehydration, starvation, or suffocation. Yeah, Others sustain crippling injuries from overcrowding. Workers kill these pigs by firing a bolt through their skulls. Although government inspectors were at this facility daily, they routinely failed to protect animals from sickening cruelty. Some government inspectors even provided the instruments of torture. Canada's outdated livestock transport regulations are the weakest in the Western world, lagging behind the European Union and the United States. Cruelty to animals may be standard practice in Canada's animal transport industry, but it doesn't have to be this way. Take a stand against animal abuse by adopting a compassionate vegan diet. Visit mercyforanimals.ca to learn more.
We have with us on the show now Krista Osborne, the Executive Director of Mercy for Animals Canada, to talk about the horrors that we just heard about in the video there, faced by farmed animals during transport to slaughter. The group recently released video of its undercover investigation into routine practices within the animal transport industry, which aired on the news magazine show W5 this past Saturday, and this is the latest in a series of such undercover investigations to expose what really goes on within the animal agriculture industry in Canada. Welcome, Krista.
Hi, Carissa. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. So do you want to maybe tell us a little bit about why this particular investigation is what you went with?
Well, Carissa, I would tell you that at Mercy for Animals, we don't target any particular organization, and in fact, we don't target a particular industry either. What we do instead is that our undercover investigators go into factory farming environments on a very random basis. When we go in, we never actually know what we're going to see. We don't know what we're exposed to. But in the case of Western Hog Exchange, which is in Red Deer, Alberta, what we were exposed to, of course, is what your listeners and what your viewers saw on our undercover video footage, which, of course, was particularly egregious cruelty, in this case, to pigs at Western Hog Exchange.
And why is there so much abuse?
Oh, my goodness, that's such a big question, isn't it, Carissa? I wish I knew the answer to that. What I would tell you at Western Hog Exchange, in particular, I would share with your listeners that it is what we call a pig assembly yard. So in particular, what happens at an assembly yard is that the animals, that the livestock come in, the trucks pull into the yard, and the animals are then unloaded at the assembly yard. One of two things happens when they're unloaded. Either they immediately go to slaughter, or they rest for a little while and they go back onto transport trucks, and they might be transported to another assembly yard or another slaughterhouse in another province. Now, what our investigators saw, of course, was not only what we call downed animals, which are animals that literally died during the transportation process, but we saw also animals that were so injured that they could barely walk on their own. And over 8 million animals a year in this country, Carissa, suffer death either as a direct or indirect result of our transportation regulations. They are the weakest in the Western world, and not only are they so very weak, but we literally have almost no oversight towards the very weak regulations that do exist.
Go ahead. Sorry, I was just going to say the 8 million that you're saying there, that's just within transport that they die?
Exactly. So what that means, Carissa, is when the animals were loaded, they either should never have been loaded because they were too sick or injured to be able to withstand the very lengthy journeys that these animals are exposed to, or during the transportation process, they suffer death or injury as a result of overcrowding, suffocation, dehydration, and because they're so overcrowded on these trucks, they literally can't move, they can't lie down, they can't turn around. And I think for anyone that's ever passed a livestock transportation truck on the highways, you can see that they literally have no protection from the elements. So whether it's a very hot day or a very cold day, there's no protection. They get no food or water on board. And they literally can suffer like that, depending on the animal, for up to 52 hours in this country.
And is that a regulation that it can be up to 52 hours?
It is a regulation in our transportation regulations. So transportation is federally regulated in this country, hence the oversight that you saw at Western Hog Exchange. The people with the white hats are CFIA inspectors, right, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. Mm-hmm. And that 52-hour period, in some cases it's 36 hours and in others it's 52. That is regulation in Canada. But what I think is really interesting maybe for your listeners to know is that in the entire European Union, the maximum duration of time that an animal can spend in transport without being provided with food and water and rest and protection from the elements is 8 hours.
Wow.
So 8 hours in the entire European Union, but we in Canada allow animals to be in transport for up to 52 hours. And in the European Union as well, if an animal is to be in transport longer than 8 hours, their transportation trucks are very specially designed. They have onboard watering systems. They have onboard feeding systems. And the water and feeding systems are designed in such a way that the food won't spill over. They have particularized regulations around the maximum density loads. So animals are able to turn around and lie down. They have regulations around the bedding in the transport trucks. In addition to that, they have regulations where the transport drivers need to be specially trained and have certifications. And the transport trucks are regulated for temperature control. So there's an alarm system in the cab of the transport vehicle where the driver is that alerts the driver if the temperature goes above or below a certain threshold. And that driver then has to, of course, stop, unload the animals, and ensure that the vehicle is able to continue on and that the temperatures are within a particularized range.
And in the video clip that we listened to at the beginning there, it mentioned that pigs are sometimes frozen to the trucks. Can you maybe
Correct.
Explain how that happens and what the result is for the pigs?
Yeah, I mean, pigs, if any of your viewers have been to or listeners have ever been to a sanctuary and you've ever, you know, touched a pig, they have really sensitive skin. Their skin is so very much like ours. So a couple of things happen is, number one, they don't have big fur coats, right? So if it's really, really cold out, and I think everyone knows, depending on where we live, it can be minus 40 in Canada with winds that are so strong. Well, what the one worker talked about was pigs literally freezing to death on the trucks. There was no control for the elements, and in the one situation, the worker described 31 pigs that had frozen to death and had frozen to the sides of the trucks, where they had to use a bar to actually move these dead animals off the truck. So they literally froze to death.
And how many animals would be on a truck?
And that's a good question. So the trucks that our investigators saw in certain instances witnessed sometimes between 150 and 200 pigs, in this case, on a truck. Now, one of the other elements of the video your viewers probably, I keep saying viewers, sorry, Carissa, your listeners, they probably saw what we call the detusking process, where they had taken a male pig, a boar, put that boar in a contraption, and they were using bolt cutters to cut off the boar's very sensitive tusks without any painkillers. So they were cutting through the nerve. The reason that, and by the way, detusking is illegal in the European Union. In Canada, they detusk so that more boars can be put onto the transport trucks. Because boars get very, they can get quite aggressive. And there are, in the European Union, there are dividers inside the trucks. So there's no detusking, and they make sure that no two boars come in contact with one another. But in Canada, so that more animals can go on a truck, we literally take bolt cutters that you could buy at Home Depot and just literally cut them off these poor, poor creatures. And you heard the screaming that ensued. And I think anyone who's ever been to the dentist knows how nobody really likes their teeth being tampered with. So it is a horrible, horrible procedure, all in the name of more animals on more trucks so they can move them more quickly so that people who eat them can eat them more cheaply.
I actually have a question, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
I'm wondering if you know, did the regulations in Europe come as an evolution from the sort of less evolved practices we have here, or did they always just take a higher interest in like sort of animal welfare basics in transport?
You know, it's a really good question. I would say that in the European Union generally, in other areas, so we always talk about the differences between on-farm, transport, and slaughter as being the three big areas of a farmed animal's life. But I can tell you that in a number of areas, including the on-farm regulations, they're much more progressive in the European Union, generally speaking. We see that there are more facilities in the European Union that have already adopted things like video cameras in facilities that are live streamed to the internet, which is something that Temple Grandin has always talked about. So I would say generally they are far more progressive. I can also share with you that not only are we talking to Jerry Ritz or trying to talk to Jerry Ritz about updating the regulations, but we're talking as well about ensuring oversight. And I can share with you that in the European Union, the oversight is far more aggressive. So are the fines that are levied against the transport companies that actually engage in any form of infraction. The fines are unbelievably high. In one instance in Italy, I know, for example, that if a transport driver is pulled aside and they don't meet the regulations, they can literally be told to get off the road immediately if they can't actually pay fines that are in excess of several thousand euros. Whereas the fines levied against organizations here, so by way of example, with Western Hog Exchange, when W5 had done their research, there were zero fines levied against Western Hog Exchange for the entire last 12 months, which was inclusive of the entire time our investigator was there, and there was an inspector present for each shift that our investigator worked.
So who oversees the investigators then?
Well, Jerry Ritz. So the CFIA, there's the head of the CFIA, and then the CFIA falls under the purview of Minister Ritz. Now, what's particularly interesting is that the CFIA themselves are law enforcement. Their role in these facilities is to act as law enforcement. And what we see instead is the CFIA being buddy-buddy with workers. We see them turning a blind eye. We see them handing the instruments of torture to the workers, the electric prods. And we see the CFIA inspector saying, oh, gee, if somebody had a TV or somebody had a camera, this would be all over the internet. And they were right. So it's just, there is nothing good here. It is time for our regulations to be dramatically improved, and it is time for our regulations to be overseen properly. What Jerry Ritz has not only the authority, but he has the power right now, today, to make sweeping changes to our transportation regulations. So the way that it works from a parliamentary perspective is that acting on the advice of the federal minister of agriculture, the governor in general, the governor in council in Canada, has the power to immediately amend the health of animals regulations and bring those regulations in line with the rest of the Western world. Jerry Ritz's office, the Ministry of Agriculture, has been promising for 8 years to amend these regulations and has consistently failed to take any actions whatsoever. We provided Minister Ritz with a very detailed paper on what would be required to modernize Canada's farmed animal transportation regulations. I have sent that to Minister Ritz. I have not heard back from him. I'm intending to continue to do everything in my power to get in front of him. Every signature that we can get on our petition is very important so that he knows that Canadians do care. So I would urge your listeners, if they can, to sign the petition if they haven't, and get their friends and family to sign and share it on Facebook. And we need every single signature that we can get, so that it allows us to continue to work towards improving dramatically the way these animals are transported in this country.
And how many investigators do you have?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, we unfortunately don't answer particularized questions about our investigators, because their safety is our paramount concern. I can tell you that if any of your listeners have ever thought about becoming an investigator, we are hiring right now. If anyone out there thinks that they would like to help us with this really critical work, anyone is welcome to send me an email at KristaO@mercyforanimals.ca. We have investigators currently in the field, and we certainly need to hire some more.
Okay.
So we need help.
Is that all across Canada?
All across Canada. Our investigators do the most important work there is to do in this movement. I genuinely believe that the entire animal protection movement begins with undercover investigations. It's what brings the reality of factory farming to the forefront. It allows us to work with esteemed organizations like W5, and it allows us then to move forward on legislative change, on changes to regulations, and on changes with the producers themselves. So if anyone has ever thought about doing that kind of work, I would love to hear from you.
Awesome. Thanks for all of that. I just wanted to say, I'm just on my way out here, but I wanted to say in my own activism, on my own page and the stuff that I do, generally, Mercy for Animals has provided me countless opportunities to prove that this stuff goes on locally. And I just wanted to say personally, thank you very much for that and all you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you for, you know, spreading the word. And every form of activism is so critical. The animals need every one of us, and it's so important that we are never silent. They need every one of us, and anything anyone can do, whether it's leafleting, whether it's tabling, whether it's talking to friends and family, they need every one of us.
Yes, they definitely do. And I was just wondering, what are you looking into next, or do you not know until it comes out?
Yeah, we do have a couple of things ongoing at the moment. again, Carissa, it's so sensitive, and everything we do is to protect our investigators' safety. So unfortunately, we can't talk about what we have that's ongoing. But I just want to assure your listeners that we are here in Canada, we are here to stay, and we are going to continue to do everything we can to protect farmed animals in this country.
Krista, this is Allison here. So I just wanted to touch a bit upon why Mercy for Animals Canada was started. Mercy for Animals, the main organization, is based in the USA, and I used to always think, you know, their investigations are great, and unfortunately, though, people often say, well, that doesn't happen here in Canada, it happens in the United States. Is that why Mercy for Animals Canada was brought to Canada, to make it relevant and specific and local to us Canadians here?
Absolutely, and that's exactly why. And it's interesting you would say that, because I hear the same thing. I hear people say to
me, it's an easy out.
Yeah, sorry?
It's an easy out. It's an easy, like, oh, but that doesn't happen to the animals I eat, you know?
Yeah. And it's, you know, we're nice here in Canada, aren't we? We're polite. We don't do things like that, you know? But what I, so Allison, the answer is yes. And I think what's really interesting is that in many ways, we are far worse than the United States. And this transportation story is only one example. Our transportation regulations, I was using the European Union as an example, but, you know, understand that we are far worse than the U.S. as well. I mean, what goes on in the United States with respect of animal transportation is better than what happens here. So I think an answer, Allison, to that question is, if you're talking to friends and family, is to say, no, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. In fact, what happens in Canada is far worse than a lot of civilized countries. So, I mean, I think, you know, this transportation story in particular really drives that point home. I mean, imagine 52 hours where you are... You literally cannot, you can't turn around, you've had nothing to drink, you can't properly, you're standing in your own excretions, you literally can't move, you're hungry, all you want to do is have something to eat and lie down, and it's 52 hours.
I want people to imagine what it would be like for them, because people are so disconnected from this. Mm-hmm. Actually, my sister lives in the States now, and she just, she's on a road trip right now, and she just texted me last night or yesterday saying, passing all these transport trucks, it's so depressing. And that actually made me really sad to read that.
It is. It's horrible. And you know, the other things are, when we think about other, this story in particular obviously highlighted pigs in transport. But remember that, think about chickens. A lot of times what happens with animals that have, that chickens, rather, that have initially spent their first several lives as layer hens, when they're spent and they no longer can lay, they then go into transport for an extended period of time and then are slaughtered for things like chicken wings and chicken legs. And these are animals now who are transported who are already spent hens. They're already, their poor little bodies are already beyond tax. They have lived in little tiny cages with other hens for years. They've gone through forced molting, and now we're putting them on a transport truck because somebody wants to have chicken wings and beer.
So I have another question. You've been very busy with the media relations for this story that broke last weekend, this week.
Yes.
You've been very busy. So what kind of feedback have you been receiving? Are you able to gauge at this point how Canadians are feeling about this story?
Yeah, and thank you for asking. We've had some really great media coverage. W5 has just been a tremendous, tremendous partner for us. They've been lovely, and they've been compassionate, and they do such phenomenal research. We've had coverage from all the major newspapers across the country, from the National Post to the Globe and Mail to Vancouver Sun, and that's all been really great. Right now, I would say that we have over 75,000 signatures, And that, to me, is Canadians telling us that they agree. Mm-hmm. And that, I think what's important there is we know that, unfortunately, I don't think there's 75,000 vegans in Canada. I wish there were. But that certainly tells me that it's more than just people who are already vegan. It's other individuals that realize how wrong this is. So Canadians are telling us that it isn't okay. I've had lots of wonderful people write to Jerry Ritz and graciously CC me to let me know that they're writing. I think it's important for Canadians to speak to Jerry Ritz, to call his office, to write to him, to write to their local MPs, and people have CC'd me on those, and I appreciate that very much. And as I said earlier, just never, ever be silent. Canadians are compassionate and don't think this is okay. And we need to show them that this happens right here and that it just can't continue.
And I feel like we do live in a democracy here in Canada. Do you really feel that that public pressure will make a difference? I hope your answer is going
to be
yes. Good.
Yes. There is no question that I do. I mean, that public pressure has assisted. I mean, I met with Lino Saputo 2 weeks ago as a result of the public pressure from Chilliwack Cattle Sales. And public pressure is critical. It's what's allowing us to do the corporate outreach that we do. And we need every signature, and Canadians must speak up, because unless the producers and the government, unless they realize that you care, they won't do anything. Public pressure is paramount.
Absolutely. That's all the time that we have today, Krista, but thank you so much for being on the show with us and talking about this important issue.
Well, thank you to your listeners, and again, please sign our petition.
Yeah.
All right, have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you, Krista.
You've
been listening to the Animal Voices, and you still are listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So we have some news. I want to talk about some news, Krista.
Yep.
Okay, so the first news story that I have, again, it's with putting these stories into the media and to getting public attention for the plight of animals. But of course, sometimes that doesn't really go as well as one might want it to be. If you're a regular listener to our show, you'll know about the Direct Action Everywhere movement, because we've been covering that quite a bit on the show. We've done a couple interviews over the past year, actually one that was recent with a Direct Action Everywhere activist who lives in Vancouver. And actually, some of us here in the studio are quite active with that movement as well. Carissa and myself have taken part, and Jackie, we were speaking with her. She actually did a public demonstration in Safeway several weeks ago.
I'm actually the media person.
Oh, you're the media person for
the Vancouver-based chapter.
Okay,
of it, yeah.
So we come here a little bit biased, but then again, we are an animal rights show, and that's what we do promote here. So people have probably heard about the Chicken Lady video, which has gone viral now thanks to Glenn Beck, who hosts my notes here say he hosts a radio show. Does he still host a TV show too? I know definitely he was on TV before.
Maybe.
People probably really know about him. He's very outspoken commentator, so he's got this radio show apparently. And so does everyone know about the Chicken Lady video? So this is a video that it's a Direct Action Everywhere speak out, where this woman who's very impassioned about animals, as we all are here, she walks into a restaurant. It's all being filmed, and she makes an impassioned plea for the plight of animals, specifically a chicken that she has rescued and who lives at a farm sanctuary named Snow. And there's been a lot of public backlash against this video, because Glenn Beck broadcast this video on his show, whether it was radio or TV, and people are calling her crazy, the crazy chicken lady. But anyway, so talking about getting stuff out into the media, though, because of his negative PR for this video, which I think people can make up their own minds, so if they watch it themselves. But unfortunately, like, it is getting a lot of, like, just I don't know what to say about the public. Like, people are just really against this woman who's just is just really, like I said, making an impassioned plea for her chicken named Snow, who people are eating in the restaurant, basically, is what she's saying. Yeah. And anyways, so I wanted to say that this video has gone viral because of Glenn Beck. It's had over 500,000 views now. And he, there's been a bit of a discourse back and forth with the woman who made the video. Her name is Kelly Atlas, and Direct Action Everywhere actually made a follow-up response to this video, which I watched the other day. And it's actually really quite beautiful. What they do is they show Kelly in the sanctuary habitat, actually, where Snow lives. And they introduce us to Snow. And poor chicken, she's disabled. She can barely drag her feet because I think it was because when she was living in battery cages or whatnot, her feet, and this happens a lot to chickens, their feet get caught in the, they don't have any footing, right?
So they start to grow onto the wires.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't have any solid ground to stand on. So their feet do become deformed. But this beautiful chicken, she is beautiful. So that's what I got from it. It was, what a beautiful chicken. No, she's not crazy. What do other people have to say about this? A friend of mine who's not a vegan yet, he actually brought this up to me this week. He's like, did you see this? This was on The Drudge Report. That's a news. Are you familiar? Yeah. You're a journalist, Carissa. This is on The Drudge Report. I just found it. It was on the front page. And she's crazy. And I said, so he's very open-minded. Mm-hmm. And I said, wait, before you say anything, she's not crazy, first of all, because I had just seen the follow-up video. And I don't judge, right? I hadn't actually really watched a lot of the original video. But they show little clips of it in this response video. And they show clips of Glenn Beck as well responding to it. And I said, first of all, she's not crazy. And I really want you to watch this response video that they made in response to Glenn Beck's accusations. But right away he's like, no, I'm not going to watch it. She's crazy. So that was really disappointing to me because I asked him about three times during the course of our conversation about this. Yeah. Like, will you please watch this video? You say you're open-minded. Open your mind. I emailed it to him after. I don't know if he's seen it yet because he doesn't check his email that often, but we'll see if he watches it. However, one thing that I wanted to mention as well is that Glenn Beck claims 100% that he supports treating animals humanely, which I find to be a real oxymoron here, because how can we treat animals humanely when this, he says, I'm 100% against animal cruelty. But what do you think this is, what people are doing to these animals? They're being eaten on a mass scale. Chickens are the most abused animals on the planet, and that's because they're the ones that are the most killed and tortured when they're being slaughtered. So that's kind of crazy in my mind. I mean, what, and it seems like he has a lot of followers. So I guess the reason this made the Animal Voices news this week is because it is a news story to get it out there.
Yeah.
And it's making huge news. It's going viral,
which is good. It's a good thing
for sure.
Have you ever thought about becoming a member here at Co-op Radio? For 40 years, Co-op Radio has stayed alive because of listeners like you. We are a listener-supported station, and that means we need you to help us keep the station running. You get a listener's guide sent to you, a tax receipt for your donation, and you also get the opportunity to win giveaways and get discounts at local businesses. So become a member today. Go to coopradio.org and click on Donate. Or you can call 604-684-8494 to become a member today. And if you say that you'd like your donation to go to Animal Voices, that helps to keep this specific show on the air, which we definitely need to stay on the air, I think.
Well, yes, thank you for that. And I just wanted to say you've been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us for next week's show. It's going to be a surprise, but please tune in and you'll be pleasantly surprised, right, Carissa? So we here at Animal Voices want you to connect with us online. Animalvoices.org is where you can stream shows from our archive or download them as podcasts. You can read our show blog there with detailed links. You can subscribe to us via iTunes, and you can learn about all of our upcoming events. And remember, we are having that Animal Liberation Talent Show, which I accidentally booked myself to work that night. So I just have formally ask for the night off. I really hope I can make it. It sounds like it's going to be really good. And it is an Animal Voices event, so you'll get to meet us hosts there if you come down. Stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. Also, please do send us your suggestions and comments about the show either via on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. So to close the show, we're going to be bringing you a song by Dr. Will Tuttle. This is a beautiful song in honor of the pigs who were featured in the investigation this past week through MFA Canada, and for all the pigs in Canada and around the world who are just so inhumanely treated throughout their whole short, miserable lives as they're being grown and readied and raised to be sent to slaughter. So, you know, it basically all, and they all end up in the same place no matter how they get there. And that is, you know, it's quite terrible. So this is in honor of the pigs. It's called Pig Song by Dr. Will Tuttle. Stay tuned for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today. And remember to be kind to the animals.